In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you. And so where in the world am I? I've been doing a lot of traveling this week. I'm happy to say this week I am not home, but I am in my home state of Oregon. I am down in Medford, Oregon. And it's funny. The only time I've actually been here is when I stopped for gas driving down Interstate 5 on my way down to California. That's really, to be honest with you, it's the only time I really ever stopped here. But now I get to be here. I'm at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church here, Sacred Heart Parish, doing not a parish mission, but a parish conference. So I'm starting off after the show today. I'm going to be speaking with some school kids, some middle school kids, some from the Chesterton Academy, which started here last year, and also from the middle school, Sacred Heart Middle School. I'm going to be talking with the kids about prayer and the power of prayer and praying with confidence. And then this evening, I'm giving the first talk of the parish conference on Catholic family life. And then two talks tomorrow morning, one at 10 a.m. about evangelization, and then a talk at about 11:30 a.m., living and staying joyfully Catholic in today's world. Right, and then I'm also assisting at the Vigil Mass tomorrow night as well. So going to very much enjoy my time here at Sacred Heart. If you're anywhere in the area, because of course you're listening on Modern Day E-Radio, right? My home radio station, actually where I got my start in Catholic radio and as a speaker and everything was on Modern Day E-Radio. So so grateful to them for the great service they're providing to the church here in Oregon and Southwest Washington as well. It's absolutely great group of folks. So I want to thank everyone I want to thank everyone at the parish here for inviting me. The pastor here is actually on retreat. All the priests of the diocese were on retreat this weekend at the Oregon coast, and the pastor is going to 150th anniversary of a parish that he was a former pastor at. So I won't even see him during the time that I'm here. But I did meet a transitional deacon, Deacon Chai Nan Vo, who's going to be ordained, I think, later this year. I got a chance to meet him. I also want to thank the staff who have been so great, helped me get set up for the show. Earl, who drove me from the airport and helped me get set up, and Bernice, and the folks here, Veronica and Brenda, the administration director, and everybody here helping me get ready and set up for the show today. Very much appreciate all of you so much. Well, today we're going to continue our series on the sacraments. Today we're going to look at anointing of the sick. Very important sacrament in the life of the church, anointing of the sick. And, it's part of our sacrament series. So we looked at the sacraments of initiation already, baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. And now we're looking at the sacraments of healing. We looked at the sacrament of reconciliation already, and now we're going to look at anointing of the sick. That means it just leaves two left after today. The sacraments at the service of communion, which is holy matrimony and holy orders. So we're going to be looking at those down the road. But today we're looking at anointing of the sick. Would love to hear from you, especially if you've received solace and healing and comfort when you receive the anointing of the sick. What was that experience like for you? Or maybe you want to share the way that God healed you. I'd love to hear from you today. The phone number to join us today is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And you can also, of course, email us, beacon@EWTN.com. And you can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. All right. And I'm also looking forward to, again, seeing all of our affiliates and meeting some new friends at the EWTN Radio Conference next week. So I will be there. Like I said, I'm leading the retreat up at the Shrine in Hantsville and then doing the show from there, and also doing Ave Maria as well. and then Catholic Answers wants me to do a show from there as well, too. So we'll see if I can squeeze everything in. And then I'm off to the men's conference in Allentown, Pennsylvania next weekend. Really excited to be with the men. That was there 9 years ago, maybe about nine or 10 years ago. I did the conference in Allentown, Pennsylvania. So I'm glad to be coming back again. Again, would love to hear from you today. We're talking about anointing of the sick. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And Jack Williams, no, Jack, the retreat for the priest was not at the Sea Lion Caves. I'm sure. Obviously, I've never been on, because our retreat for the deacons are held at Mount Angel Seminary, Mount Angel Abbey. They have a retreat house there, and but there's way too many priests to hold it there, so they always go out. I think it's some conference center in Seaside. I'm not exactly sure where, but it's right in that area there. But not the Sea Lion Caves. Maybe next year. They'll have it there. All right. Well, one of the reasons why I love doing this show, besides getting to hear from all the faithful listeners every day, is because of the great crew working behind the scenes to bring you this quality product every day. Matt Gabinski, who's screening the calls, Charles Beery doing social media, and Ace McKay behind the boards. How you doing, Ace?
I'm good. You can't keep mentioning Allentown, because just when I get the song out of my head, and I'm like, earworm every time.
I'm going to be singing that song on the plane on the way there, you know.
I might
even open the conference by singing a verse or two.
Please capture that on video. Yeah. Roadshow edition right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was actually talking to a friend of mine. We were talking about how, you know, concerts have gotten so expensive, but Billy continues playing Madison Square Garden, and he refuses to do the big screen. So when you go see him, if you don't have great seats, you know, he's, you know, yay big based on wherever your seat is. So I don't know how much I love that. I don't remember the few times I saw him, because he was with Elton. I think they had the big screens, because that's the thing that Elton likes to have. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. If you're up in the nosebleed section, yeah, you won't be able to. I mean, you pay the money for what? To see like a pee? You
right, know? Right, exactly.
Just a little dot on the stage. Yeah, yeah. But then again, well, I get the big screens, I guess, as well. But one thing is interesting. When they've had the big screens at conferences that I've spoken at, mm-hmm. when you're a speaker and you're looking out there, and I'm sure the same thing may be true for singers, you see people looking at the screen, not looking at you.
Sure.
You know, which is a little weird, but
well, and that,
but so, I can see why it's important.
Yeah. When you were at the Eucharistic in Indy, weren't you on a big screen there?
There were two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, on either side in the Lucas Oil Stadium. And so, but I could see that. I mean, there were 30,000, I think 30 or 35,000 people there.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at, and I could see people looking at the screens and not looking at me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Of course they are looking at you, but you know.
Or you look at yourself like, ooh.
Right, right, right. But it really, even though you're there and you're watching the screen, it's not like watching on television.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. No, that's fair.
Jack says there's...
50,000.
Well, yeah. See, at the sessions that I spoke at, it wasn't the evening sessions like Father Mike Smith's and those guys spoke at. So I spoke at what they call an impact session.
Yeah.
Which was a daytime session that went over 3 days, and I was on the third day. Actually, Dr. Ed Shree and I, they paired us. They paired the speaker. So our task on the last day was to speak about the Eucharist and evangelization. How do we take the Eucharist out from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass into the world?
Yeah.
So that's what was our task. And so it was an optional session for people, but we were told that there were about 30 to 35,000 people at our session, daytime session.
Next time you're in front of that many people, please take your guitar just of the anticipated. Like, just walk around with it. Like, people wait for you to play something, you know, and then maybe right at the end.
You know, one of these days I may, like, go out there and, like, play the head to Crazy Train or something like that, or some, like, Panama or something like that.
Just to,
like,
get everyone to back at you. I feel that.
So Jack wants to know, can you tell me what my lasting memory of my childhood visit to the Oregon coast was?
Jack just got off the air. He needs to go find his own radio show. We have things to talk about.
Well, I would say it's probably, depending on what part of the coast, maybe the aquarium. That might have been cool.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're talking about anointing of the sick today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Share with us your story about how Christ has healed you. 833-288-EWTN.
Just play this riff when you come out for all your speaking engagements.
That's right. That's right. That'll be fun. And so tonight, you got a gig tonight. Are you going to be playing something like this?
Not like this. I'm drumming, doing percussion for a cabaret show. So it's a little jazz, a little Broadway, a little pop. So we're kind of hot. Speaking of Billy Joel from earlier, our conversation, we're doing New York State of Mind, which is
great song.
One of my favorites. So
yeah,
that'll be fun. But awesome then stuff song from like Cats and big numbers. So it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. It's outside my normal. Like, this is normally my jam, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So this will be outside my bubble, but I enjoy it because I live in a theater house, so I know all the songs. I've just never been given the chance to play. So it'll be fun.
All right, right. Make sure you get a little recording of it and send it to me, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're talking about the sacrament of anointing of the sick today as part of our sacraments series here on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sibbers. Would love for you to share your experience if you've received the sacrament of anointing of the sick. What was it like for you? Did God bring a healing? If not physically, what about spiritual healing? I mean, how has God healed you? How has he touched you through that incredibly beautiful sacrament, which we're talking all about today on Beacon of Truth? Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. The phone number to join us is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, remember, as EWTN offers you the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we have our Mass Guide booklet to help walk you through it. That way you know what's happening and how to interact and how to get deeper into your Catholic faith. Easy and free for you. All you have to do is go to EWTN.com/Catholicism and get yours today.
All right, well, we hear that music. That means it's time for us to break open God's Word in the Psalms in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is when we take the Psalms that we hear at every Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the beautiful Jewish hymnal, and we connect the Psalms to our everyday lived experience. And so you can get this as its own podcast. Go to podcastcentralewtn.com or on the EWTN app, or one of the secular podcasts like Spotify or SoundCloud or iTunes, and download the Soulful Psalms segment and use it for your meditation every day. And we're reflecting on the things of the Lord. Today, we're going to look at Psalm number 20. Of course, Psalm 20 is in Book 1, Psalms 1 to 41. All of those Psalms attributed to David. The prescript is the entire first line of the Psalm, which simply says, and a lot of these prescripts are very simple in Book 1 of the Psalms, for the choir master, a Psalm of David. Can't get more simple than that, right? For the choir master, a Psalm of David. And so David dives in at verse 2. May the Lord answer you in time of trial. May the name of Jacob's God protect you. Right? I love this. Again, I love the way David starts out so many of his psalms. You know, beseeching the Lord to answer him during a time of trouble. that the name of Jacob's God. He's that beautiful trilogy, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the fathers, if you will, of Judaism, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when the Lord asks you in time of trial, so many times in the Psalms, David is calling out to the Lord for help, calling out for the Lord's incredible loving and divine mercy to work during a time of difficulty. Since we're talking about anointing of the sick today, right? It's a perfect sacrament to reach out with God's healing touch and his merciful love during a time of illness for us as well. May the name of Jacob's God protect you, right? So the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not one of the false gods of the culture, right? So often we see in the scriptures how the Israelites veered away from worship of the one true God and start to put their hope in the false gods of the culture, as is so many people of faith do today, sadly. In our culture, they allow their politics to dominate their lives instead of their faith and their religious practice and their faith in Jesus Christ. And they get swept up in the wave of the culture, and they get carried out just like a you get sucked out in that wave that draws you deeper and deeper out into the ocean. You know, it's very dangerous. And the same thing is like our culture. You know, you get sucked in by that wave. Instead of moving you closer to the safety of the shore, it pulls you out into deeper waters. A riptide, that's what it's called, a riptide. So we have to be careful of the riptides of the culture. And David continues in verse 3, may he send you help from the holy place and give you support from Zion. Right? So he may help and support. That's what we're talking about. We talk about the sacrament of anointing of the sick, right? This beautiful sacrament of healing. May he give you help from the holy place. So the holy place could mean, of course, it could mean Zion, as he talks about in the second line, support from Zion, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. But that help comes from above, right? So any kind of intervention, any kind of help, assistance comes from God, comes from above, where God reigns with the cherubim and the seraphim, his holy throne. He imparts the graces and his mercy and his healing to us. He continues, may he remember all your offerings and receive your sacrifice with favor, right? And so the sacrifice today is what? It's not lambs or sheep or goat, because Jesus is the Agnus Dei qui tollit peccata mundi. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we no longer have to bring a lamb or a sheep or a goat. What do we bring? Ourselves. Right, we make a sacrifice of our lives to God in the context of a covenant relationship, the exchange of love, life, intimacy, and communion. So we sacrifice those things that separate us from God's love, so we can have the fullness of divine intimacy with him, at least as much as we can get on earth, which is nurtured and strengthened and fed by the Eucharist. I love that. May he give you your heart's desire and fulfill every one of your plans. Now, don't make a mistake here. David is not saying that God's going to answer every single prayer that you have, meaning, you know, oh, I want to win the lottery. Well, I didn't win the lottery. That means God didn't answer my prayer. No. God answers all those prayers that will bring us into deeper communion with him, that will bring us into deeper intimacy with him. And sometimes that healing, if someone's really sick and they receive the sacrament of anointing of the sick, and then they die. And the person, someone may see that objectively and say, well, it didn't work. The person died. You know, it's supposed to be a sacrament of anointing of sick. They're supposed to be healed. You know, didn't that, what Jesus did, he healed people? But what kind of healing did that person receive? It may not have been a physical healing. It could have been a spiritual healing, which is a much deeper healing than a physical healing, because that spiritual healing will help us move closer to Christ, right? And so, of course, we ask for a physical healing during anointing of the sick, but we should ask for healing of the entire self, holistic approach to healing, body, mind, and soul. So he says, give your heart's desire, right? What's our heart's desire? Not for material things, not for the things of the world, but the desire for God. That hunger and that thirst for God is what needs to be satisfied. May we ring out our joy at your victory and raise banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your prayers. Right? So David is already anticipating that God is going to come in and intervene with his grace and with his love and with his truth. And he's already saying, ring out your joy at your victory. Raise banners to the name of our God. Because God is going to have the victory, right, in the end. And may the Lord grant all your prayers. Again, those prayers directed toward deepening intimacy with him. That's what I'm going to talk about with the middle school kids today. I'm going to talk about our prayer life. And how the deepest form of intimacy we can have with God is through the Eucharist on earth, but the way we get to that intimacy is through prayer. So I'm going to talk with the kids about that, because as I've said before, when I talk to young people, they truly have no idea how much God really loves them, like really loves them. And so I'm going to break that down for them today so that there's no doubt how much God truly loves them. And David continues, now I know the Lord saves his anointed, right? When he says anointed here, again, a little reference in my mind to the anointing with the oil. Because remember, in 1 Samuel 16, David was anointed with oil. And what happened? The Holy Spirit rushed upon him from that day forward, it says. So, but it means anointed here. It doesn't mean literally anointed with oil, but those who have been anointed by the grace of God, right? For example, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, means the anointed one who saves, right? The anointed one of God who saves. So those who are in communion and in favor with God, those are the anointed. And answers from his holy heaven with the mighty victory of his hand. Right. So again, emphasizing that God is going to bring about the victory. God is going to bring about the healing and that we should put our trust in that. It may not be the healing that we anticipate, but God will bring us the healing. And then in verse 8, some put their trust in chariots or horses, right? In the things of this world. Yes, we pray for the physician that's going to do the surgery. We're going to pray for the nurses and the anesthesiologists and the oncologists and all the people that are going to be a part of our healing process. Yes, we put our trust in them because they're exercising the gifts they've received from God. But ultimately, we put our trust in the divine physician, the divine healer, who's God himself. Not in chariots or horses, not in the things of this world. Some put their trust in horses and chariots, but we in the name of the Lord our God. Right? So we have to be very clear that we are putting our trust in God. In fact, I was taking a look at my my iPhone. It has that health app thing, and I was updating a few things on there, and it said emergency. So I thought, let me make sure I have Colleen on there as my emergency contact. So I went in there and looked. And I put a smile on my face. I saw in there, it said, I am Catholic. In case of emergency, call a Catholic priest. So I have that in my iPhone. So again, put our trust in the Lord, right? They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise up and hold firm, right? So the things of the world are going to go away. Cicero once said, sic transit gloria mundi, so passes the glory of the world. All this stuff is going to come to an end. The only thing that's going to be left is love. The only thing that's going to be left is divine intimacy, right? And that's what we should focus our lives on. Grant salvation to the king, O Lord. Give answer on the day we call. Right? I love that. So again, David starts off with Lord answering a time of trial, and he ends that says that the Lord will give answer on the day we call. Beautiful. Talking about the anointing of the sick today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN.
Exactly. Weekend memories.
Yeah, yeah. that's awesome.
Were you that guy? Were
no,
you like...
I was just about to say that was not me, bro. that was not me at all. When someone pulls up to you in the light and they got that, I mean, it's just blaring. I'm like, boy, they're going to be deaf in another 5 to 10 years. They're not going to be able to hear a thing.
Or you feel the bass before it even gets behind you. That's always my favorite.
Yeah, you feel your chest vibrating.
Yeah.
Or the car vibrating, for that matter. Speaking of, do you when you go to a concert, do you wear earplugs?
Not usually, but again, I'm in the nosebleed, so it's not a problem.
Okay.
There was probably a time when I was close and I should have, but I was thinking I was invincible and, you know, that won't bother me.
Of course, you're young. But of course you think you're invincible.
I consider myself to have pretty good hearing, though. Like, so I don't feel like it's been damaged too much. If anything, not so much from concerts, but, you know, I was that kid that, you know, had the Walkman and then it was blaring and my mom's like, if I can hear it, turn it down. Sorry, Mom.
That's right. Awesome. Well, we're talking about anointing of the sick today as part of our sacrament series on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and would love to hear from you today. Your story of how God has brought healing into your life or into the life of someone that you love through the anointing of the sick or through a healing service that a priest may have held at the parish. How God has touched you with his healing and merciful love. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, we want to let you know this weekend you can catch up on what's happening at Podcast Central and even dive deeper into God's Word thanks to Sunday Catholic Word. This is one of the 100 podcasts that we have available for you, EWTN.com/podcast, or subscribe wherever you like to stream. That way you can not only get the latest of what's happening in those conversations, but with this one, Sunday Catholic Word, it dives a little deeper into the Mass reading. So helps to break that down for you, give you a little bit more opportunity to defend your faith with the God's Word. But again, that is Sunday Catholic Word, available through Podcast Central.
All right. Well, again, I just want to make a quick plug. If you're anywhere in the Medford, Oregon, Southern Oregon area, I'm going to be at Sacred Heart in Medford tonight and tomorrow morning. So tonight at 7 p.m., giving a talk on family life for their parish conference. And then tomorrow morning at 10, giving a talk at 10 and another one at about 11:30 or so. So the talk at 10 is on evangelization. The talk at 11:30 is on living joyfully in the midst of a culture that's not so much filled with joy. We're going to talk about that at the Sacred Heart Church in Medford. So come and join us if you're in the area. All right, anointing of the sick. So anointing of the sick is grouped with the sacrament of reconciliation and under the sacraments of healing. An anointing of the sick is administered, why? To bring spiritual and even physical strength during an illness, right? That's important. During an illness, most especially during the time near death. It is most likely one of the last sacraments, if not the last sacrament, that we will receive. So remember, sacraments are sensible signs instituted by Christ that confer grace, right? And by the action of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, they transmit what they signify and signify what they transmit. So the sacrament is not just a sign of grace, it symbolizes that grace, right? I mean, it actually imparts that grace, sacramental grace, to the person who's receiving it. So it's basically giving God's love and grace through the power of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament. Now, we see, what's the biblical background for anointing in the sick? Jesus uses signs all the time for healing. For example, we see that he had that incident with the guy that was blind. He spat and made mud, and he put it on the guy's eyes, you know, as a way to bring healing. Jesus also commands to heal, like in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus sent the 12 out, charging them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, nor enter the town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and preach as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And so Jesus gives this command even before he dies and is risen from the dead. He gives the command to the apostles to go out two by two and to heal the sick. Right? He's already imparting to them this grace of healing. We also see a similar command in Mark's Gospel chapter 16, where he says, Mark chapter 16, where Jesus says, go in the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Those you're going to lay hands on, you'll cast out demons, you'll speak in tongues, you'll pick up serpents, drink any deadly thing, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover, right? They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We also see the healing of Jesus in Mark chapter 6. So they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them, right? So clear. So it's very, very clear the biblical foundation for the sacrament of healing, the sacrament of anointing of the sick. Probably the clearest one, the one that we're probably most familiar with, is in James. James chapter 5, the epistle of James says, is anyone among you sick? So chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, right? The presbyters, the presbytery, the priests of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. They anointed with oil because Jesus in Mark's gospel commanded that they anoint with oil. And so you anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith that will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Powerful words by James here, who's showing us how this sacrament was understood in the early life of the church. All right. And so we're talking about anointing of the sick today. Would love to hear from you how God has brought healing into your life through this incredible, powerful, beautiful sacrament. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Susan is calling from Yakima, Washington, our neighbors in the north. And she's listening on Sirius XM 130. Susan, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Thank you for your show.
You're most welcome. Thank you for listening.
I have learned a lot.
Oh, you're most welcome. What would you like to share with us today?
I'm 80 years old. And in 1969, I was in a very serious automobile accident. And after leaving the emergency room and going to the surgical floor, I said to the nurse, if anything happens, please call a priest. And so she went out and relayed that to the head nurse, and the head nurse admonished her and said, if a Catholic ever asks for a priest, you get it now. You call them right away. Mm-hmm. And as they were pushing me to the OR, my husband told me that they were giving me last rites on the way into surgery. So 45 days I was in the hospital, and while I was there, I went into cardiac arrest 3 times. I had surgery 3 times, and at one point, and the seriousness of it was that I had 2/3 of my liver removed, and so they were waiting for the last portion of the liver to start functioning so that I could function. And nothing was happening. And one day a priest came in and said he was going to be there the next day giving communion. Would I like to participate? I said I would. And that morning that he was supposed to come, the doctor came in, ordered more blood work to see if anything was starting to function. Nothing was. The priest came in, gave me communion. I can hardly tell you.
No, take your time.
By 5 o'clock that night, all jaundice had left me, which is not the way that happens. It usually takes a great deal of time. I was white. The doctor came, the nurses, I kept wondering why the nurses were grouping outside of my door and they talked to each other but didn't say anything to me. And the doctor came in and ordered more blood work. And I was white. I was healed.
Wow.
And the only thing that changed was the body of Jesus inside of me.
Wow.
The doctor, I mean, it's my medical records. They have no reason why the jaundice would have left. It would not have left like it did. I went from being as yellow as an egg yolk as to white within hours.
Wow.
And that was the only thing that changed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful. See, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about the Psalms just now, how David said, some put their trust in chariots and horses, but we in the name of the Lord. And that's exactly what Susan did. Susan, what a powerful story and a beautiful witness to the healing power of God's love in the anointing of the sick and the reception of communion, receiving our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Because the doctors had no answer. Oh, but we know what the answer is. The answer is Jesus, the divine physician, brought that healing. And you're still, that was when you were 25 and now you're 80 and you're still here. And you're able to tell that story and share that beautiful witness of faith that I'm sure, Susan, I am sure someone listening today is going to have hope because you had the courage, fighting through your tears and remembering what happened to you, to share your witness of the power of God's healing love. So I just want to thank you, Susan, for truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing such a beautiful story with all of our listeners today on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about the sacrament of anointing of the sick today on Beacon of Truth. You just heard a powerful witness from Susan. Would love to hear from you how God has brought hope and healing. Now remember, this healing is not just physical healing. It can also be mental illness as well. Right? It's not just physical illness, could also be mental illness or even some spiritual illness as well through anointing of the sick. We'd love to hear from you today. The phone number for you to call to join to be with us is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Xenia, listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, I remember clearly when my young son picked up an uncomfortable separation anxiety. Probably starting kindergarten or some kind of or camp or something like that where he's separated from mom. And I remember the day when he was healed of it at a healing service done by a Catholic priest. All right, beautiful. Which brings up a good point. So let's talk about just quickly the matter and the form and the minister of this sacrament. So every sacrament, in order to be valid, has to have valid matter and valid form, okay? So for example, in the Eucharist, you have to have, for us in the Latin rite, you have unleavened bread, wheat bread, and grape wine, right? And the form is the validly ordained priest who says the words of Jesus Christ in the institution narrative at the Last Supper with the intention of doing what the church is asking him to do. So matter, form, and intention makes the valid sacrament. So for the sacrament of anointing of the sick, it has to be oil, not chrism. So there's often three oils used in the church. There's the chrism oil, which is used for confirmation, for that sacrament. And it's also the chrism that's placed on the child's chest as a sacramental during baptism. It's also placed in the priest's hands as a sacramental when the priest is ordained. The oil is on his hands. It's also poured over the bishop's head when a bishop is consecrated. The oil is poured over the bishop's head. And that oil is what we're not talking about. That that's the chrism. There's other types. The oil of catechumens and the oil of the sick. All right. So that oil of the sick has to be blessed olive oil or some other kind of blessed plant oil. Right, that's in the Code of Canon Law. And that oil must be blessed by a bishop. Okay, must be blessed by a bishop. So that's the one thing we share with the Eastern Church, is that the oil that's used in any of these sacraments has to be blessed by a bishop. Right? Very important. The form of the sacrament is the prayer of the priest, right? And the valid minister is also a bishop or a priest. Deacons cannot administer this sacrament. Cannot administer this sacrament. There was some confusion about this in the church. There was some question about this back in 2005. Back then it was called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, issued a definitive statement on the matter. It said, it is a matter of doctrine to be held definitively by the church, that a lay person is not permitted to administer, or a deacon is not to administer the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Why? We just heard from James, if anyone has sins, the sins will be forgiven. The only one to forgive sins is a priest. So the forgiveness of sins is often tied in with the sacrament of anointing of the sick, which is why only a priest could administer the sacrament. So this is a definitive doctrine teaching of the church that neither deacons nor lay persons may exercise the ministry of anointing of the sick or any action in connection with the simulation of that sacrament. All right. So that's very clear teaching. We're talking about anointing of the sick today. Would love to hear your testimony of how God brought healing into your life through this powerful sacrament of his grace and mercy. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jamie is calling from McKinney, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jamie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, this is Jamie, and I am calling from McKinney, Texas.
Okay. Yes, great to hear from you.
Okay. 2 years ago, I was admitted to the hospital with severe sepsis. I was near death. I ultimately spent 10 weeks in the hospital, but early on, the third or the fourth day of my stay, my family called my local priest, and he came up. He gave me the blessing of the sick and the apostle's blessing, and I recovered. It did take 10 weeks, but I lived through that, and I was 72 years old when that happened. I know it is because of the blessing and the many, many prayers that were said for me that I recovered. So I thank God every day for my new life.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. See, and, as you were speaking, Jeannie, you reminded me, I think some people may have the wrong idea of this sacrament. I surely did. I remember being 16 years old, a sophomore in high school, and I had salmonella, and I was in the hospital for 3 days. And one of those days, a priest, not my pastor, but the chaplain at the hospital, came in, and he wanted to give me the anointing of the sick. And I said, no, because I mean, being 16, I mean, I thought that was a sacrament when you're dying. Right, it was called back in the day extreme unction, right? So I thought this is the sacrament that you receive when you're about to die. So I didn't want to receive the sacrament because I thought that meant I was dying. You know? I mean, obviously I was wrong, but I mean, 16 years old, that's what I thought, and I said no, I'll receive communion, but no, don't give me that other sacrament because I don't want to die. So, but thank you so much, Jeannie, because your courage in sharing your testimony with us shows us that this is not just a sacrament reserved for when you're dying. When you're sick, or you're about to go in for a surgery, if you're going through something mental, right, even spiritual healing, this is a beautiful sacrament for that. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jeannie. We're talking about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear how God has entered into your life and brought healing through this beautiful sacrament of his merciful love. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary is calling from Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mary, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello?
Yes. Please go right ahead, Mary.
Thank you, brother, for your ministry. God bless you. I'm really impressed by the Lord using you in so many ways. I was sharing with the other person that picked up the phone that back in the 80s, by the grace of God, we were able to see, we're from Guatemala, and St. John Paul II came to visit our country, and my brothers were confused by bodyguards. And my brother had bronchopneumonia. And then by the grace of God, he was able to shake his hand, and my other brother was able to touch my St. John Paul II's back and hug him. So my brother came back healed after having bronchopneumonia, because he did not want to miss the opportunity of seeing him. So I am sure the anointing of John Paul II brought a miracle to my brother's life.
Wow.
And also my other brother was diagnosed with cancer last year, I insisted on receiving the sacraments of the confession and communion in person, because he was afraid of even receiving communion because of his condition. And I said, don't be afraid. Ask the priest to come and give you the anointing of the sick. And he said, no, I'm not dying. He had a very positive attitude. He has a big faith and everything. But I said, you know, it's good that you have strong faith, but you need to receive the Eucharist. You need to receive the anointing of the sick. Go to confession. Don't be afraid. And then finally, they listened to me. So his daughter brought a priest, and he received the unction, the anointing of the sick. And by the grace of God, he received the all the chemotherapy treatment. He survived. Now he has it again, but he has a different mindset by the grace of God. And so he's starting treatment again. Long story short, in the meantime, a year ago, my niece got married, and he was able to hold his first grandbaby. So that's a beautiful image of seeing my brother holding his first grandchild. Another blessing that I received, I've been in the hospital multiple times. I also had cancer and surgery and radiation and all that. And I received the unction of the anointing of the sick many times. And by the grace of God, I am alive. I am close to 60, but I lost two coworkers younger than me, healthier than me over the past month and a half.
Oh.
And all I can say is that by the grace and mercy of God through the anointing of the sick, I'm still alive. I know that the Lord is taking me by the hand, and he needs me for something. And I'm asking him every day just to be a better wife, be a better mother-in-law, because I have a lot of issues with my family. But I know this suffering is temporary, and I want to unite my to the suffering of Christ. And we have our first grandbaby. She's 3 months, and we haven't been able to see her. We have issues in our family. So just pray for me, brother. But I trust and I believe that the anointing of the sick is one of the most powerful sacraments. And actually, learning about it at our parish, we have a Bible study. And it was wonderful to hear that what you were saying about the deacons and the lay people cannot provide that, administer that sacrament. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Well, and again, because this, as you mentioned, the sacrament of reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, is tied in with that sacrament, as we heard from James, from the book of James chapter 5. And that's why lay people and deacons cannot administer that sacrament. But Mary, thank you so much. I love the John Paul II. He was healed after touching John Paul II, hugging him from behind. That's incredible. And the healing brought by the sacrament of anointing the sick. Now, let me. She reminded me of something. Let me say this. Remember, people say, oh, he's healed, but the cancer came back. as Mary was just sharing with us. Well, he wasn't really healed. Hold on. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And guess what? Lazarus still died. Right? So just because God brings the healing, he brings the healing for a purpose. Because we still need time to accomplish whatever God needs to accomplish in this life. So he gives us more time so that his will can be done through the healing. But guess what? All of us are still going to die, right? All right. So Monday's topic, when it's come up, praying for your enemies. Ooh, a very rich topic. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.